The Tom and I, as you dissect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract.
We'll see you next weekend, same place, same time.
From a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me at Studio B every Thursday, 1700 hours Pacific time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Oscar's freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows what's new.
The gut is filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not, the heart's beating fast. It's giving a little harder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run, but your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslitizen.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. 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 Radio!
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're
listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100%
I heard the bumper ad, and now we return to really sounding strange, so I'm wondering how I sound on that. Radios, give me somebody who can let me know if they can hear me on TV. Okay, now the ocean sounds like it went away. Let's see. Okay, so I'm going to keep talking and see if anybody can hear me. If I get a message back in the chat room. So, let's see. I don't think anything's strange on my end. Let's see. Oh, we can hear you. Yay. Okay. Thanks, Eagle Flower. So this is Yolene Lee on Studio B. It's 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time. And the name of this show is Bridges Well, where we gather to talk about things in the world on this beautiful planet that we live on. Ways that we can help each other to remember how to live in a good way. Seems like there's been a concerted effort to make us forget how to live. And so the focus of this show is to bring up topics and subjects that, I'm hoping that other people can get information from them and get help in different ways that they're feeling the struggle in their lives. So today's show is brought to you by the beautiful country of Mexico. I'm going to do part two of my journey to Ixtlán in Mexico today. And we're going to talk about the situation with the EMFs and the 5G down there. And basically my bottom line message is anybody who's thinking about moving to Mexico to expatriate and get away from all this craziness, you better think again, because I certainly did. And I'll get into all that and my experience down there. It was really great. It was really wonderful, very beautiful, but also very, very difficult. And we'll get into that. Mostly has to do with the massive amounts of 5G that has been rolled out. I'm pretty sure pretty recently, because I saw it actually being rolled out in some places. But this is Revolution Radio. We're fully listener supported. And so if you like what you hear here, we do have a lot of really great hosts and shows, pretty much 24 hours a day. So you can go to the schedule if you go to the Revolution Radio or revolution.radio or freedomslips.com. You can go to the schedule and check out, the other hosts that are going on in the other shows. A lot of the hosts, if you go to the schedule and you hover over the picture on their title of their schedule, shows, it'll pop up a, you click on that, it'll pop up a description of the different shows. So a lot of us have put in descriptions, and you can check it out and see if you see anything else that's of interest to you. And also, if you feel inclined, you could send a donation or become a Patreon to donate to this station. It's one of the last bastions of freedom of speech here, pretty much on the planet. And so we really do appreciate you helping to keep the station going. All of us hosts and the managers, everybody, nobody gets paid. This is all volunteer. So we put in the hours, you know, each week to keep our shows going, and the management and producers to actually, you know, keep the nuts and bolts loosened and tightened and whatever needs to be done to keep the radio station going. So we really appreciate them too. And also appreciate the people in the chat room. So come on into the chat room if you feel so inclined. You can get to meet people from all over the country, all over the world, really. So it's a fun chat room. Sometimes it does get a little raucous, so, you know, you can just pipe up and tell people to calm down if they get a little too wild. But most of the time it's pretty fun in there, in that chat room. So I'm going to pull Jenna on with me today and see. She's going to just kind of help me keep on track and see if I can do this. And, you know, kind of ask questions and stuff as I go along. Hold on. Where is she? Oh, yeah. Itty update. Where are they? They're like a duo. Okay, here we go. Let's see if I can do that ad. Okay. We'll see if that works.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jenna. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great, really.
Good, good. I heard you went to an acupuncturist and got some good relief from some stuff going on for you, so that was nice to hear in the chat room yesterday.
Incredible. 3 weeks of suffering immediately taken away. Love it. Love it.
That's the thing about acupuncture, you know, people look for this supplement or that supplement or herbs and that. And yeah, you know, that can work, but sometimes, you know, a real quick and easy way to get rid of stuff is go to acupuncture. You know, that's so great.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had people like writhing in pain from like gallstones and spleen. This one lady had like splenomegaly where her spleen would get really super inflamed. And I mean, I've even scared me sometimes, but a lot of my patients are like, no, I'm not going to the doctor. And so they just get the acupuncture and it's amazing. It's like a miracle.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad to be alive.
Well, I was so glad to hear that. Yeah. So thanks for coming on today. So we're going to do the part two of my journey to Ixtlan, Mexico. And so, yeah, I really appreciate you coming on. If you have any ways you want to add stuff or ask questions or slow me down or whatever, that would be great. yeah, have you ever been to Mexico yourself?
I was, actually. I was in, let's see, 92 to 93. So I was traveling through Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras. And I was eyewitness to the Zapatista uprising in Oaxaca. No, wow. No, San Cristobal de las Casas. I was there. Wow. And, I, really enjoyed my stay. I was there about 5 months finding myself. Yeah. And I explored the Mayan ruins. I kind of just kept to the Mayan route just to, you know, explore those things. And I met lots of American visitors and people that spoke English because I did travel alone. I would never do that again, but I was rough and ready in the 90s. Yeah.
Wow. So that was what year? 92, 93?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So things have changed hugely in Mexico. Everywhere, you know, everywhere. But boy, there was a couple places I went to this time because we drove. And so I was, you know, got to go places where we're like, oh, let's just go here, you know, because I remember going there when I was little. And boy, I cried a couple times. So, yeah, it's really intense right now. And I met a lot of people escaping the States, escaping Canada, escaping Holland and Germany. There was a lot of people there, like, trying to get out of the craziness. But these people were not hip to the 5G situation and the real problem with cell phones and electromagnetic poisoning, which is really very accelerated in Mexico. And I ended up getting really sick. And so I wanted to do the show on, I'm going to do just a kind of a mix of talking about what I did for that sickness, because I think it will help people. And it's also helping me to collate information I'm, you know, coming up. I'm trying to get up for patients of mine because, as you all know, I'm an acupuncturist and herbalist. I've been doing natural medicine for about, basically as a business for about 40 years. I hate to use that word business, but, you know, basically that's what I've done for my living, is helping people with natural medicine. And and one of the things, I'm in this chat room, people are sharing lots of information about, you know, how to deal with different health issues. And one of the problems I have with those kinds of, I mean, it's really good to be sharing this information and stuff, but when things get really bad and people don't get better from herbs and natural ways of doing things, if you don't have someone that's really, like, solid and has been trained in a really strong way, people end up going back to allopathic medicine. They'll think, well, I tried the natural way and now I have to go to the doctors. Well, you really don't, but you do need to have, if the situation is real serious, which I consider this, the EMF poisoning and the electricity poison is a very serious issue. And, you know, if you start going into the hospitals and they get you on those incubators or whatever they are, the respirators, yeah, it's not a good picture, not a good story. I've just heard so many horror stories. And my situation in Mexico, there was a couple of days when I started to worry, like, oh, my God, this is getting really bad, you know, but I just can't do allopathic medicine. I just can't. So I think I would have just had my husband bury me on the side of the road if something got real bad. No. The last show, did you get to hear my last show, Jenny? You were in the chat room, right? Yeah, for that.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Let me just see here. Okay, I'm going to get to my notes here. So last time I talked about my drive down there and the Indians, there was really some, so people who haven't heard the first part, you might want to listen to the first show. And after the break, I'll give you the date for that because I kind of forget. But there was a really funny story about these Indians who they got a big, huge freeway laid right down the center of their reservation. And their response to that was just to get out and rip the freeways up and ask people for money, like to go and, you know, hold out their little cans. And I was more than happy to give them money because I thought that was really rude what I saw. Anyhow, there's some other really fun stories in that show. So I'm looking forward to hearing more about, is it called Freedom Air, that airlines where you can go on and not mask? Anna, do you know about that? Have you heard of that?
No. No, I haven't.
So if anybody in the chat room knows about that, if maybe you could put a little link or something with some information. Because basically we drove down there because I don't wear masks, and I didn't want to get on an airplane with all those vaccinated people and a possible, flight pilot who had been vaccinated, because you're hearing all those stories about, you know, pilots dying in the air from the complications from the vaccinations and stuff. So anyhow, we decided to drive down, and I probably will never do that again. That was a long trip, a lot of driving, and I'm not getting any younger. It was just hard. But in a way, it was kind of good because I got to have a little bit more autonomy with just being sick and stuff, because I was pretty much sick the whole time down there. When I got down, actually to the ceremony we were at, I was just sitting down last week and doing a timeline of what happened while I was there. And basically I got sick when I first got down there. And what happened was we got to this place in Ixlan, which is on the coast in the state of Nayarit, which is a little bit south of Mazatlan. We got up into these mountaintops, and I talked about the ride up there. It took an hour and 45 minutes to go 3 miles, I think it was, or 4 miles. It was a rough road. But we got up there, and it was pretty much, there were no cell phone towers around there. But all of the towns and all of the villages and, of course, the cities were packed full of 5G towers, antennas, like just everywhere. It was just bathed in 5G down there. Even tiny little villages would have 3-4 5G towers in little teeny villages. It was really sad. Some of them were even abandoned, the villages, like the Indians that were living in adobe huts and stuff. And, you know, normally you'd see that kind of thing, and people were still living that way. They were there. But in the places where they ran big, huge expanses of these towers, some of them had wires on them, some of them not, but they were always there. And a few little villages that I saw that were had those arrays in them had just the people just packed up and left. They were gone. The villages were empty, which makes sense because, you know, who wants to live right underneath those things?
Yeah.
Jen, I saw you just put something in the chat room there.
Yeah, because I remember Dolores Cahill. She was talking about airline travel without masks. So it was a link I found.
Okay. Did you put that? You put that in the Skype chat?
I did. I'm still trying to get into Rev Radio chat.
Okay.
So, I'm working my way there.
Okay, cool. Okay, great. Yeah, if you could put that in Rev Radio chat. Do you know if that airlines is up and running?
Oh.
I mean, it's okay. We can look into it later.
Sure. Cool. Yeah, I didn't read the article yet.
I just
remembered Dolores Cahill.
Yeah, that's right. She was one that was starting it. But I'm really excited to hear about that because I would, I would love to, I don't know. It's just crazy these days. I'm so glad to be home, though. I had my EMF meter with me because whenever I travel with this little, it's called a Cornet, little EMF reader, and it measures electromagnetic field, and it shows you when it starts to get in the danger zone. It will go up into the yellow and in the red zone. But, like, I get home, and mine's pretty much flatlined at nothing because we don't have smartphones. We don't have Wi-Fi here. I'm just really sensitive because I'm used to not living around a lot of it. So when I was in Mexico, I actually didn't use my meter. And I think subconsciously was because I didn't want to freak myself out while I was on my trip. There's this guy who runs that website called electricsense.com, and his name is Lloyd Burrell, and he's from the UK, and he has a great website. It's lots of information on electromagnetic field and Wi-Fi and smartphones and stuff and how it affects your health. So if you're looking for more information, real detailed, you could go to that website. But he says, if you're going on a plane and you have your meter, do not turn it on, because it's not going to help you to know that information, and you're going to freak out at the levels of electromagnetic poison or, you know, field that's in an airplane. And so I think subconsciously, my mind, I was just like, don't turn it on, just enjoy your trip, you know, because I knew it was going to be bad. But the weird thing was, as soon as I got over the border to come back home, I started turning it on. And even though apparently there were not as many towers and antenna and stuff as it was, that looked like were in Mexico, the readings as soon as I got off the border were extraordinarily high, very, very high. I was telling people in the chat room the other day that when I drove through Oakland, California, the meter was, I mean, I had the meter on pretty much the whole time. It was maxed out almost the whole way through on the freeway driving through Oakland, you know, and going past malls or schools even. And, you know, a car, sometimes we'd be out in the countryside or, you know, in a stretch of the highway that was less populated. And I just turned it on to, as we passed up a 5G tower, and it would go way high just from one 5G tower on the side of the road. And then I would notice like a car drive by with three or four people on it. Well, obviously those people all had smartphones and maybe laptops or pads turned on, and the car just driving past our car would make that meter go up really high. So, you know, this kind of thing, people don't know it because we're just in it and you can't smell it, you can't hear it, you can't taste it, you know. But anyway, as we got down to Mexico and we got up onto this mountaintop, there weren't cell phone towers up on the mountaintop. There was very few people living up there. There were some little houses and stuff. But there was probably 200 people arrived there at one point, and all those people brought their smartphones and didn't think to turn them off or turn them on airplane mode. And we were in a pretty small area, you know, camping together and stuff, and eating together and in the kitchens there. So whenever you're in a place where there's not really good reception and you have a smartphone, it's going to start to work harder to catch a signal. And so it actually puts out a lot more EMF radiation if you're just in a place that's rural or inside a car even. So a lot of people were leave their cell phones in a car on, you know, and they just don't know. So I don't know. I got really tired. I get tired of talking to people about it because it's something I've been studying up on for a really long, long time, like years. The very first time I heard about this was during the 80s? In England, there was some U.S., I think it was Army bases in, or was it Air Force? I can't remember, in England. And there was this one called Greenham Common. And you might still be able to find stories online of this, but it was a women's peace encampment. And they started coming down with all these really weird symptoms, weird sicknesses like dizziness, really bad dizziness and nausea and headaches and just complete fatigue, and nobody could figure out what was going on because it didn't seem contagious, but it kind of seemed in a way like it might be contagious. So they did some investigating over a few months, and they figured out that they were being bombarded by the military with these electromagnetic, you know, ray guns or whatever. And that was the very first time I'd heard about any of this stuff. And I've just been keeping my eyes, my feelers out for information about that, because I guess I kind of felt like this was the up and coming thing we need to worry about. But so anyhow, so here we were on the top of that mountain with all these cell phones, and that's where I started to get sick. And just to let you guys know that I have been to Mexico traveling a lot, like probably in the last 15 years, I've probably been there at least 6 times for at least a month, sometimes a month and a half or 2 months. And I lived there for almost a couple of years once. And I never got sick, never. I mean, I might have caught a cold or something, or I remember getting sick one time when I lived down there. It was a cold kind of thing. But I've never gotten what you might call Montezuma's revenge, which is kind of what I had, what I was terming it. But after the fact, I look back and go, no, that was electromagnetic field poisoning. So yeah, I was up on that mountaintop with all these people out of reach of a good signal with all those appliances, because everybody has smartphones, even the Native American elders. They're all sitting there like that, like strumming through their little smartphones. I'm like, oh my God. It was really kind of sad in a way, but you know, just gotta let go because everything's changing and they have a right to do what they want too. But so one of the things, let's see. Yeah, so what I did at the beginning when I started getting sick was I just immediately started drinking a lot of I had a couple of bottles of mineral water. I had my wits with me, and I had bought a couple of big bottles before we went up there, because we were up there for about 5 days or 6 days with no, we didn't come back down into the city, into the towns. It was such a rough ride. But anyhow, so I stopped eating so much and just made sure I didn't eat anything, because they were cooking with canola oil, like vegetable oil, really bad. Mexico's really, it's kind of like, in a way, they're like 15 years behind us in some ways. And every time I go there, I bring those Weston A. Price, these really good brochures with me, and I hand them out to people because they have them in Spanish. And so right before I left, they had sent me like probably 200 brochures for free and about 10 of these little booklets called Healthy for Life, translated into Spanish. So I was able to give those out too. And I had little groups. I like to hang out when I go to these kinds of ceremonies. I like hanging out in the kitchen. I want to see what's going on there, because I want to know what to eat, what not to eat. So I usually go help chop vegetables, and to me, that's a really safe place to be. And so I just would eat the soups and stuff. Of course, they didn't have any meat. They're really getting targeted with this whole vegan and vegetarian agenda, and the vegetable oils, big time. It was bad the last few times I've been there, but it's even worse now. I thought it was going to get better, but it's worse. I couldn't find anybody, not one restaurant or taco stand anywhere, even in the markets. Because before, when I went down there, I would go to the market, to the open-air markets, and go to the little restaurants. If you guys have ever been to Mexico, you can go to the town centers, usually in any sizable town. They'll have a little marketplace where there's all these little stalls, and you can buy. You've probably seen pictures of the beautiful vegetables and the fish market and the meats, with you hanging out there with flies and stuff. But nobody gets sick from this stuff, you know. But now they are, because of the vegetable oils. But I used to go, I mean, I always go there and eat, because to me it's much safer to eat there, because they're eating, preparing the foods in a traditional way. They used to be. I would go around and ask people, are you using lard or are you using vegetable oil? And a lot of times people would be like, oh, all proud. Oh, wait, you know, hold up their big gallon bottle of Crisco or canola oil. And, you know, all bright and shiny, like how proud they are that they're using vegetable oils now. And so a lot of times if I have the energy, I will talk to them and I'll give them a brochure or a couple of them to just share with their families or friends, and talk to them about how important it is to keep using lard, you know, because that's so available to them. It would be a lot cheaper, but they've been bombarded with all this wrong information. I think in that talk that I aired last time on my show last week, The Oiling of America, I'm pretty sure it was on that show where Sally Fallon talks about Mexico being one of the last main big places, countries where they're still using a lot of lard. And there was billions of dollars being poured in to advertising to get them to start, you know, they want to capture that audience to start using vegetable oils, and they have captured it. It was way worse this time. I could not find, even in the marketplaces, I didn't spend a lot of time in the marketplaces this time because we kind of were, you know, we were traveling a lot. And so I didn't get a chance to really do a thorough, even of one market. I couldn't go to a lot of different restaurants. But I never found, of all the places I went to, the restaurants, the taco stands, you know, because I've always eaten street food in Mexico and I've never gotten sick, ever. But I could always find someone that was using lard still, and they were very proud, and they would say, yeah, I've heard that it's a lot better for you. And so so if you guys are ever traveling anywhere and you want to make friends, you want to talk to people, those Weston A. Price little brochures that talk about food are a really good way to open up conversations with people. And I was able to have lengthy conversations with quite a few people. And we even had little classes at the ceremony that I was at in the kitchens. And three of the cooks there told me, they kind of made a pledge saying, I'm never going to cook with vegetable oil again. So I felt like, okay, I reached three people. So that's really wonderful. Felt like my mission was accomplished. But I also met a woman who we're going to get in touch with each other. We haven't yet, but we will. And talk about maybe writing a recipe book, trying to save some of the old Mexican recipes and translating them into English too. And because some of the recipes she was saying, they're getting changed. You know, people are starting to say, oh, use vegetable oils or use bouillon instead of making the bone broth, which Mexican soups are so good because they're still – that's one thing you could do if you're down there and get sick. Like what I did was I just started eating soups wherever I went. If I saw a little stand that was serving menudo or any kind of soup. I did have some fish soup at one place, but it was terrible because it was like one of my American friends who just moved down there. It's like, oh, let's go to this restaurant. It's kind of like Nouveau Mexican, and I should have known by that name, don't go there. Because it was like catering to very wealthy American expats in this town. And the fish soup that I ordered, because I was real excited about it, was terrible. Like they just used ketchup or something. I don't know, it was really gross. But normally in a Mexican, in a good Mexican restaurant, you can get really good soups because they're still making their own broth. And that's always, 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 always a great standby if you're not feeling good, especially for the digestion, is to just go back to drinking broth. And the menudo, I found this one little menudo stand. So after we got down from that mountain top where I was kind of sick. I wasn't like really feeling real super bad, but my digestion was way off. And when we got down, it started to get worse because we were going through towns with massive amounts of 5G towers. And some of them were over 100 feet tall, and they were in neighborhoods. Like they were in the cities, like just right there. And, you know, these people just don't know. They just don't know about it, and it's getting rolled out big time. I was even in a hotel where I watched over the course of 2 days, the 5G, those really thick wires, the electricity wires that they need to funnel all that electricity. Because if you listen to Mark Steele, who's the world weapons expert, from Scotland, and he talks about those wires. He's like, there's no way, you don't need that thick of a wire. This is a weapon. And I watched them. Actually, it was a Chinese. It looked like a Chinese guy. He was in a truck, and he was every day he'd come a little bit close, a little closer. He went past the hotel we were staying in, wiring up these really super thick wires on the telephone wire, looked like, you know. But they were 5G. And so the and just happened to be the hotel we were in. It was kind of a saving grace in a way, because we there was nobody in the hotel. It was just us. And it was this beautiful spot. It was a very nice, very tasteful, simple hotel. It had a little waterfall, and it had its own beach right there you could walk to. It was outside of San Blas, which is in Nayarit also. But it was really, really pretty, and it was a really good price, and it was very quiet. Well, at the same time, this is just like it's like the Twilight Zone kind of watching all this stuff roll out. But, you know, the same days I'm watching this kid, you know, this young man wire up this 5G wiring, the owner of the hotel was putting in smart TVs and routers into every single hotel room. And they were not very big rooms. They were just like a, you know, small hotel room. It wasn't tiny, but, you know, and so, but the good thing was nobody else was there. So when I go to a hotel, which I try not to do anymore, but because of vaccinations too, the shedding and stuff, but I always unplug everything that's in there, the clock, the TV, the refrigerator, anything that's electrical, I unplug it. And so I went around to the room before us and after us and unplugged everything in those rooms too. So that's like guerrilla traveling and guerrilla healthcare, you know, when you can go around and take care of yourself that way if you need to. So that's what I recommend, is take everything. If you're in a hotel, just unplug everything. If there's a little light on something, because those are the little blue lights that can be on like the whatever, like the night lights or what is that? The fire, you know, alarms and stuff and whatever other little gadgets there might be. Those little teeny blue lights, they can keep you awake. Like you might not think they will, because you're laying there and you just can't sleep. You can't sleep. If that little blue light, it could be green. Usually they're blue. They can go really easily through your eyelids, because those are really strong blue light LED lights. And that frequency is very high frequency, and it's not supposed to be getting into your eyes or your brain at nighttime. Because nighttime, you know, the blue light is in nature, comes out in the morning, early in the day. And that's kind of good. You want to be out in the morning outside to get that natural blue light into your eyes, because it does something really special for your eyes. And I don't want to get into all that right now, but it's just good for you. To have that, but only natural sources and only, you know, during the early part of the day. So in nature, later on in the day, that's the light of the sun starts to warm up. It gets warm. It gets a warmer color, like a red, yellow, orange color, you know, that's sunsets. So, what I do is sometimes if I remember, I bring a black electrical tape with me. And I'll cover up those little blue lights. Or if you can unplug them or stick them in the bathroom or something, or throw a blanket over it even. But there's this photologist from Germany named Dr. Wunsch, W-U-N-S-C-H. And he talks about, he's a really good speaker, very good teacher about light. If you're interested, you should check out his videos. But he says that they can even, the LED light, the strong blue light like that, because it's a cold light and it's very damaging to your DNA, to your mitochondria in your cells and your, especially your eyes. But it also lowers melatonin and it messes with the hormones. So that's how come people have a really hard time sleeping if they're on their computers or cell phones late at night and you got that blue light coming in. Because in all you know, digital devices, there's blue light, right? It's a LED light. And so you can get, let's see, what's the name of them? There's a free app that you can put on your computer and your cell phones. It's called F-Lux, F-L-U-X. And that one's free, but it's not as good. I like the other one called Iris. I just put that in the chat room. And then Iris. And the other things that I think about, and I always forget, I haven't even remembered once yet, but when you travel, because even if you go to friends' houses or something, there's always LED lights in everything, because everybody believed the government and believed the TV that they're eco and they're blah, blah, blah. They're good for you and good for the environment. They're very, very toxic. So never touch an LED light when it's hot. It's very toxic. And if you break one, you know, you better contact the poison control or something. It's real bad. So I always think about bringing a couple of incandescent lights with me to change them out, but I never have remembered. So that would be another thing that might be good to take with you. But don't forget them. Don't leave them there, because you know what? People don't, they don't appreciate them. So keep them for yourself, because they're very, very hard to find anymore. There's a few places, if you go to thrift stores, you can go to their little gadget section, and a lot of times I'll find them in thrift stores, or like Habitat for Humanities are sometimes a good place. And get to know the thrift store, because they're really the only places you're going to find incandescent bulbs anymore. You cannot even, can't even hardly find the ones for the appliances anymore. I bought a whole bunch of them just to have them, but if you get to know the manager of your local thrift store, this is a really good idea, because I did this, and ask them, because sometimes they might be throwing them out. They might be saying, oh, these are really bad for the environment. They'll just throw them away. So ask the managers of the thrift stores to hang on to them for you, and then just keep going back in and ask them if they have any, because they'll, you know, a lot of times they'll do that for you. They'll look out for you, because really it's so hard, even in Mexico. I used to be able to find them here in the States, the incandescent bulbs, which are the old-fashioned ones that we used to have with the little filaments in there that light up, and they're supposedly, like, not very eco. You know, if you consider the health risks of a LED light and an incandescent, you know, the amount of money that you're going to save is just infinitesimal. It's nothing. You know, I used to get them. Oh, God, there's chemtrails all over the sky right now. There was none when I started the show. They're just trying to get to me, aren't they? I used to be able to get incandescent bulbs that were made in Mexico. And I don't know if they can find them in Mexico anymore anywhere. I always look for them whenever I go into stores. One of the things I do is walk by the lighting sections of any store I go into just to see what's going on. But, if you ever see any, just pick them up. Give them to your friends, your family. That's what I do. Give them for Christmas presents. One time, everybody in my family 1 year got a case of incandescent bulbs for Christmas. It was kind of cool. I found they were made in, I think, like Romania or something. But I could get them on Amazon, a case of 24 for $24. You know, some of them afterwards, they realized what a good gift that was. Yeah, halogens, I'm just looking in the chat room, Fleet, yay. Halogens are actually, I like those better than anything else. Like the incandescent, of course, I like the best. But other than that, like the fluorescent or the LEDs, halogen is the better way to go. Because, if I can find the charts, I'll try to put them in the chat room at the break. But there's these charts, you can look at the spectrum of light, and the halogen is actually warmer than, by far, than any of the LEDs or the fluorescent lights. The fluorescents flicker a lot, and so do LEDs. They're very dangerous. Really bad. The way of the future and the past, yeah. So if we can get back to making incandescent bulbs, you know, this is the thing, you know, like if we have any kind of, you know, technical skills or know-how or we need to start thinking about, okay, well, let's just start a small business and just supply each other with them or something, you know. Because it's not going to come from the top. The masking is not going to stop from the top. The vaccine's not going to stop from the top. And neither is any of this lifestyle stuff. We need to just start taking things into our own hands and making businesses, you know, creating jobs for ourselves. And because as I got home, I actually started thinking I might just start cooking food and selling it to my patients and my friends. Just hunker down, stay close to home, and just make a little bit more food when I cook. Because a lot of people don't either have the time or they're too old or they don't know where to get the ingredients. And my passion is food. I was born in the year of the earth pig in Chinese calendar, and we're all about tactile and sensual parts of life. And so food is like so, you know, it's just very, that tasting thing is just, I've always liked food. And fortunately, I'm not super overweight or anything. I'm probably a little bit, but not too bad. Probably because I eat so much good fats. So I'm just looking where my little notes here. LED lights as weapons. Yep. So one of the things. So we're talking about when I got sick. So I was up on top of that mountain. I came down and we went to some hotels. Okay, so we went around. Last time I did my show from a little cafe, and so I'm going to skip that part. And then when we were leaving to come back to the United States, we stopped in this town called Lagos de Morenos, and I had heard so many amazing things about this town, and it was so beautiful and blah, blah, blah. Well, it was very industrial, and I just, you know, there's just the 5G towers are just everywhere. So, and I, like I say, I did not turn on my EMF meters because I think I just didn't want to freak myself out. I was already freaked out because I'm always looking at this stuff. But we stayed in this hotel, and it seemed pretty good. Like, I got in there, and it was like it seemed like, because I can walk into a place and just feel if it's got a lot of ambient electricity or not. And it seemed okay, and I kind of fell asleep pretty quick. But then in the middle of the night, or like, it was the middle, I go to bed really early. So the middle of the night for me is like, you know, 10 or, you know, 11. But all of a sudden the light, like there's this big window behind the bed with curtain over it. And all of a sudden it's just the whole room was filled with light. Well, there were these like freaking LED flood lamps behind the hotel room. And I went outside and I walked around, and there's a parking garage behind us, or parking lot, but there was a really expensive Mercedes-Benz in the parking lot, and it was the only car there, so I bet it was the owners or the managers or somebody. And so they probably put those floodlights on at nighttime so nobody messes with that car. And so I go back into the room, and sure enough, it's just like flooded with light. My partner's like snoring away, and I'm this is like too sensitive to stuff. So anyway, that night I got so sick. Like, that's when I got like sick enough that I couldn't move. I couldn't. The next morning I was just wasted, like completely wasted. And in Chinese medicine, when your qi gets wasted, what they call is wasted, it's literally that. Like, you have a storage of something that's important to you, like your qi or your blood or your jing, or, you know, even your digested food. There's substances that we need to hang on to and convert into body processes and body, you know, tissues and repair and stuff. Well, when you get wasted, it's literally you're throwing out these important things in your life, like your qi and your water or your, you know. So I woke up the next day, and I mean, I didn't go to sleep. I don't think I slept all night, but I couldn't think. I couldn't talk. I just told my partner, you decide what to do because I can't think. I don't even want to talk. Don't talk to me. Leave me alone. So just go get me some mineral water and a lime, and I'll be fine. So, well, not fine, but that's all I wanted to do. So I wanted to go over that too, because I forgot to do that. When I first started getting sick, that's what I would do, was I just, started getting, you know, they have this Mexican, mineral water called Topo Chico, and they sell it here in the States too. It's pretty good. And I just would get a lime and squeeze a whole lime into that and just drink that all day. And a little pinch of salt. So really good. I bring Celtic sea salt with me too, wherever I go. And, so I just would put a pinch of that, because that has all the, really good minerals in it. And it's got iodine in a natural form, that your body can really utilize. And so I never ever got, dehydrated, which is a problem when you get chronic, everything's loose and not staying in your body. You can pinch your skin, like on your forearm or something. You pinch your skin up to test to see if you're dehydrated. If the skin stays pinched, that means you're losing too much water, and it could be dangerous. And so I never got like that. And until I got home, I think it was just bad enough over so much time that it started doing that. But once I got home, I started getting better real fast. And this today, it's been 5 days, and I'm totally better. But so drinking stuff that's like electrolytes, so that's what that would be, is the mineral water with salt and lime is a really good electrolyte. Very cheap and very effective. So... and there was time. So then I would just eat white bread or I would burn tortillas if I could, get a corn tortilla, which they're probably all GMO. But, oh, in Mexico. So if you go to a bigger city, you can go to the marketplaces and you just look for these little old Indian ladies. And they're usually sitting on the ground on a box or something. And they have a little bag or a basket with cloths in there. And you just ask them with those tortillas. And usually they grow their own corn. So it's probably not GMO. And if you can buy the purple ones, the blue corn tortillas, get those, because those are probably even have a better chance of not being genetically modified. So that's what I would do too, was to go to the markets and get and buy the corn tortillas from the little old Indian ladies, because you want to support them too. And never, I never, ever, ever banter people down for prices. Because you don't do that in a store. Why would you do that to normal people? We shouldn't be doing that. It's not right. So I always pay full price for everything when I go to places, because I just believe in that. And I would encourage you guys to do that too, because it's really not fair. Like, people are getting paid nothing anyway for their hard work. So then you can take those tortillas and just get one of them and burn it. Put it over an open flame if you can, like a gas burner or... fire or whatever. A lot of people still cook with fire in Mexico. So you just put it on a low, and so you don't burn it real fast, but you turn it into charcoal, like Jenna likes. And that's really good for the stomachs, because I forgot my activated charcoal at home. But if I went back, I would definitely bring that, just to be able to have it in a capsule. So it'd be easy. So... oh, masking in Mexico. Oh, my God. There's probably 80 to 90% of the people are masking in Mexico. And it's really interesting, because you'll be, like, on our way home. Okay, so I was in that hotel. I got really sick. I made my partner make the decision. I'm like, I can't think. Don't talk to me. And so he made a decision to go back to the coast and drive back up the way we came down, which I was really glad about. So we ended up going back to this really nice little place that was a lake inside of a dormant volcano, or a dead, it wasn't alive, volcano. And that place was in a big valley. You had to drive way down, and there was no Wi-Fi, no antennas, no TV down there. And so we stayed down there for about probably about another 5 days or something to get me strong, because I was really sick. And he got sick too. That night that we were in the hotel where the floodlights came on in the middle of the night, he got sick that night too. So it was very interesting, because he hardly ever gets sick. He grew up in a German family from Germany, and they, his mom was a really amazing cook, and he grew up with all this traditional foods, the raw milk, the sauerkraut, the homemade hams, and everything was just really right on. So he's got a really strong gut. But he did fall too. And it was those LED lights, the floodlights, that weakened him enough to get him really, really sick. And there was a couple of nights where, you know, it was just between the two of us. I got really, actually after the second day, I was really scared, but I just stopped eating, and I would only eat white bread if I could find it, and burnt tortillas, and the mineral water. I think I had some Chinese herbs, but once I had a formula, because the thing about herbal medicine is you take it according to the stage of where you get sick. So I brought a formula that you can take for food poisoning. Because that's kind of what I thought this was, but it was EMF poisoning, so it wasn't working that great. It seemed like it was working okay at the very beginning when I got sick, but it was already past that, and I needed different formulas that would help with a different stage. Oh, another thing that I had was I threw a package of candied ginger in my bag when I went back to my office right before leaving town. And that was a godsend, because I remember that one night, both of us were just kind of taking turns in the bathroom, and it was scary. And then I remembered those ginger candies, and so I gave each of us, ate two of them. And they're real hot when you take them, and so that will help warm up your digestion. Because the LED lights coming into, you know, to a room and bathing your body, because, you know, it was hot, so we didn't have a lot of blankets on. So we were getting exposed to it, even though it wasn't on in the room, it was still getting into our skin, and it makes your body really cold because there's no warmth in that light. And, so that would make a digestive issue like mine get worse, because it's like cold, like the digestive fires in your body get wasted from whatever, your body just getting really weak. And so you need to keep warming it up. And so I didn't drink that mineral water cold. I would get it room temperature or add some hot water too. So that ginger candy really helped to heat up the digestion really fast. So that was kind of a turning point for us getting better, because I had remembered I had that stuff. And then I just wasn't putting the everything together, you know. I was kind of getting weaker and weaker and couldn't really think straight. But when that floodlight happened and the LED lights at nighttime, it was really clear, okay, this is what's going on. Because like Mark Steele says, you know, he's a worldwide weapons expert, and he says that this whole thing, the LED lights, the Wi-Fi, the smart technology, is a massive
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Let's see, I think we're getting close. Oh, there's the music. We're going to take a little break, you guys. And if you have any questions, I'm going to
join me in the Brian Rue Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things in my view affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens.
Oh, you know, the music agenda for the advancement really of humanity. Strange.
Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization.
Maybe someone can tell me in the chat room. Can you guys hear the music?
Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told.
Oh, you can't. Okay.
Number four is advancing global civilization.
Strong
on the Brian Rue Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
The chat room. The ads are going. So we'll just wait
till. The pill has been taken. The blinders are off.
I do. Are we in the end game?
Or are we simply living a replay of a time that's already happened with no choices?
Okay. Well, it seems really helpful for me.
Different people have different points of view.
Because, the whole essence of positive ions and the charge that actually is
evolution,
urban negative, it draws out point of view, attracts positive ions. So
we were created to evolve.
To always have on hand and always take
the red pill every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern in Studio B.
You know, but it's just
www.freedomslaves.com.
I can imagine. That was a big trip.
At revolution.radio. Check it out.
Usually in Skype we can hear the music, but let me just... Yeah, the last on the last guys who were on there, I like him. They were talking over like they couldn't hear. They kept talking over them.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for free association.
Yeah, so the tortillas, I remember my dad
when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality,
tortillas. You know,
psychology,
because
like
I grew up eating a lot of tortillas. And
social issues.
Like, oh, give that one to me.
And geopolitics.
You just knew that it was good to do to eat charcoal.
Yeah.
It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B. At freedomslips.com.
So we are talking there. You can hear it on the.
Hi, I'm
commercial.
Some consider my efforts the underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach.
Oh,
that's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A.
Let me know.
My forte,
okay, we'll
see. Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law, spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rules.
Now, maybe you can talk about that when we
Still
get back on. We can talk about this.
And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Yes.
Okay.
The original machine had a base plate of pre-famulated annulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two swerving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of six hydrocoptic Marzal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal Lotus O deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every seventh conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet. I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now. Please.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
I think we kind of are. Let's see. That's the radio station. So, yeah, Jenna, do you want to talk a little bit about the charcoal and radiation?
Yes. The process of making charcoal is that high heat, no oxygen, creates voids, and it becomes carbon negative, meaning it absorbs positive ions. And with all of the extra metals and minerals that are free-floating in radiation situations, inherently it would absorb those things. It would draw them in. So carbon, activated carbon, that's how it acts in our bodies. I practice with it often because I get weird things that happen. And even like headache sometimes works for me, where whatever it is that's causing that headache, the activated carbon absorbs it, and then your body doesn't want to use it. So then it just comes out the other end. So I highly recommend activated charcoal. And also I've noticed that topically making poultices or paste with flaxseed on sore spots, wherever there's some stagnation, on kidneys, on liver, you can make like a charcoal patty and wrap it up, keep it warm and wet, and it draws through the skin.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, because my contention that this whole, it's not even a contention, it's a fact, this whole so-called COVID thing is actually, it's radio, it's like radio frequency poisoning. And I just want to play a really quick little blurb by Dr. Cowan about why RFK isn't talking about it. Hold on. Oh, wait, hold on. I got to share screen first. Hold on. But yeah, so this is where it's at. Like, this is what we have to start talking about. What are we going to do about radio frequency poisoning? And I found actually a really good, now I don't see how to, I'm on yours. No wonder. Here it is. Okay, so share screen. We need to start talking about what to do about this. And I found a really good Chinese formula for radiation poisoning.
Oh,
now I can't see how to share my screen on here, so maybe I won't do that, that little blur. I was going to do a real short, like, minute and a half of Dr. Cowan talking about it. But, so I can go ahead and I'm going to talk about something else. Like, I met somebody who has what are those things called? Darn it. Where is it? I think it worked out. Oh, the Starlink. I met somebody who has a Starlink freaking radio antenna on their house. They live out in the middle of nowhere. So it's kind of like the only source of really bad radiation, I think. I haven't seen, because on the mountain ridges where they live, there tend to be little clusters of 5G towers. So there might be more, but they have one for their, because she's on the computer all the time for work. And the Wi-Fi was was not good. It wasn't real stable. And so they hooked up the Starlink, which is, Elon Musk's satellite system. And this person about a year and a half ago, and a little bit less than a year and a half, like shortly afterwards, a couple months, he started getting really, really, really sick. And nothing could touch it. Like, she's been trying all different kinds of things, and it kind of helps for a little bit, but it keeps coming back, and it's just really nebulous and really weird. So then they kind of started looking at that, and so they just called me, and so I'm going to help them try to figure out stuff, what to do. But it's very interesting. It's very timely, but to have somebody that I know that's got an active situation, So I'm trying to find this. Go into my. I have a. I wanted to read a little bit about this this formula, because the formula was actually first formulated for people who have cancer and who are taking chemotherapy and radiation treatments for it. So, which, I don't agree with, but so it says chemotherapy radiation support side effects and adverse reactions associated with these treatments. Well, we're all getting treated, all right. If you look at COVID and the signs and symptoms and the symptoms of radiation poisoning, they have a lot of commonalities, almost all. So the organs that get really affected is the stomach, the rectum, the uterus, and the bladder. So the digestive and the kidney system, the reproductive systems. So I'm just looking at the herbs here. So these would, a lot of times there's going to be problems with the spleen and the stomach, the digestive problems, and also for drying things out, getting dried out, because it damages the yin. And it also damages the defense system, which would be our immune system. And so I'm looking at the herbs here. So they would be herbs that would help to dry dampness, which, okay, so what I had was really bad, very bad, just chronic, like almost incessant evacuating. It was interesting. When I was in the car, it was fine. Both of us were totally fine. And I think it was the movement that was relaxing, and also just that we don't have smartphones and we didn't have Wi-Fi or anything weird in the car. So there looks like there's a common symptom that happens with radiation poisoning, which would be some kind of problem with I've heard of people getting cystitis where they feel like they have to pee all the time. And that might be something that is somehow triggered by this stuff. I don't know if it's directed weapons or just ambient energy. But so in this formula, it would be helpful for both the urinary tract and the digestive system. So and also there's herbs in there that are going to help strengthen the blood and strengthen the chi, which is your immune system, basically. And looking at the other ones, so it would help tonify the yin, which in Chinese medicine, the yin of a person's body is the cooling aspect. So it's like the water, the fluids, the moisture in your skin, so people can get dried out if too much water is being evacuated too much.
Sure.
You know, and I guess that's what the radiation does. You know, the replenishing bodily fluids, it says here, augments the yin in blood, relieves thirst and dryness. I was drinking a lot of water. I think I was losing a lot. So let's see. But I was really wasted. I didn't have any energy and stuff. So this formula is going to help the person get more energy. So the kidneys and the digestion is going to be able to metabolize the food better to have it go into bodily functions. Because what happens when you're kind of wasted, when the spleen, the stomach, the digestion is affected, there's too much drainage happening. So the body doesn't get a chance to absorb the nutrients from the food. And even from water, like the minerals and waters and stuff. So that's what this formula is going to focus on. And I'm really excited, so I'm going to order it and get it to this patient. Because she doesn't have, like, really glaring symptoms like I had. Was just, like, more acute, I guess. Hers are way more chronic and low grade, but very consistent just all the time. Headaches and dizziness and digestive off, everything. But yeah, so, yeah.
And did she just have a sudden onset, or was she always?
No, it's been going on for about a year and a half, like ever since she got that, that thing, the Skylink antenna.
Oh, sure. See, I just remember all the interviews I've listened to with Dr. Martin Paul and him saying the VGCC, the voltage-gated calcium channels, are what are affected by EMFs in that it causes an ability for free-floating calcium to get into the blood. And then I've also seen slides on the blood coagulating and looking really impure.
Yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah.
So it looks like, so with calcium, that would be potassium, calcium, it would kind of be the kidneys and the renal stuff, which would be addressed by this formula. So I'm excited about that, because, yeah, she's just been trying a lot of different things. And this is the, what I was mentioning at the beginning of the program today was, it's really good to have, that we all have little bits and pieces, or some of us bigger bits and pieces of information that's really helpful. At the same time, you know, it is, I really like to encourage people, and I'm not just saying this because I need more work, even though I do, to find someone who's very highly trained and who's been doing it for a while, and, or at least is very committed to, the truth, to finding the truth. And I know everybody thinks they have the truth, but,
sorry.
That's okay. These things, are very tricky. They're very slippery. And so they're very evasive. Like, the cures or the actual cause of it is very evasive. So, you know, you gotta find somebody who believes that this COVID thing is not, a virus. Because that's a huge stumbling block to getting better. Everybody's trying to treat their headaches or their colds or their sore throats or their gallbladder. You know, there's just so many things that get triggered by this. And it is good. You need to have those, you know, the ways to stop the symptoms so that you're more comfortable and stuff. But we do need to get to the root of the problem. And so in Chinese medicine, we call it the roots and branches. So you don't just treat the symptoms, which is important. You know, you do need to help with the pain and the headaches and the dizziness or whatever it is that's being triggered, like my digestive stuff. But if you don't get to the bottom of it, it's going to just keep happening. And so that's how come people go, well, I got tested or I got COVID last month or last year. And so, but this is still happening. I don't know what to do. Should I take iodine? Should I take this, that? There's a lot of things that you can do for the symptoms very well with herbs and stuff. But if we don't recognize the true cause of this, then, you know, it's just, we're in their hands. And then people fall back on allopathic medicine, which, you know, can maybe help in some ways, you know, little bits and pieces here and there. But, yeah, you guys know my bias. I'm into the natural stuff, the natural way of healing. And I am, so if somebody's listening to this who's in the chat room, I'm trying to figure out how to share the screen, and it won't let me share the screen. So because I want to play that clip of Tom Cowan. Let's just see here. No. I don't know why the Skype screen kind of changed. It's not, it doesn't have share screen on it anymore. What is that? Anyway, if somebody knows anything about that who's in chat room, maybe they could help me out here. Oh gosh. Oh, he cleared the room. Okay. Pat Rabbit, are you there? Can you help me out with sharing screen on Skype? Okay. Well, anyhow, okay, so I'll just tell you what Tom Cowan said. It's like a minute and a half video or 50 seconds. It's really short. And he's just talking about why RFK can't talk about COVID and the virus, the fact that they have not ever sequenced, or they have sequenced, but what does sequencing mean? We'll talk about that. They have never isolated a virus, a COVID virus. It's not isolated. It's not real. So sequencing. I woke up in the middle of the night with this really good metaphor. What do they mean by sequencing when they say, well, we've sequenced the virus? Okay, so sequencing, what that means in scientific terms, in order to prove that there is a causation of disease in the scientific world, there's an agreed upon for hundreds of years, probably, or 100 years, maybe, these things called Koch postulates. They are a set of steps. I think there's 7 steps, and you have to at least do 4 of them, I'm pretty sure, in order to entertain an idea that maybe there's a causation between A and B causing C. So basically the first steps are to isolate the virus. meaning they can find something, and then they purify it, and then they try to infect a petri dish of some other kind of tissue or another animal. They'll try to infect it with this virus or this bacteria, whatever the causation they're thinking is the cause of this illness. Well, they've never done, there are 7 steps and they have never done any of them, none, anywhere in the whole world. What they have done, because people will tell you, well, we've sequenced it. And sequencing is, so here's a metaphor. If you're walking down the street and you're looking for a bicycle, and you find a pedal in the ditch, and you go, oh, wow, I found a pedal, a bike pedal, and you grab that. And then you go a little further, and you find a wheel, a tire or something, and you grab that. This is a bicycle tire. And then you're walking down, and you find a steering wheel of a car. Well, it looks kind of, it's a steering wheel. We could use it. We'll take that. And then you go a little further, and you find some wiring that could be used for the brakes of a bike. And then you get a whole bunch of pieces, and then you say, oh, we found a bike. But you didn't find a bike. You found a bunch of pieces of stuff that could be a bike, could be part of a bike, or it could be part of a car, or part of a motorcycle, or a moped, or something. It's not a bike, okay? And that's exactly like a metaphor for this virus. They found bits and pieces that could possibly be part of a COVID virus, but it's not the COVID virus. They have not found it, okay? So that's what that little blurb by Tom Cowan that I wanted to play says. Like, why isn't RFK talking about this? It just doesn't make any scientific sense at all. And he keeps talking about it. It's this mythical lab leak, and it was created in as a bioweapon. But... you know, that it's just further, it's just like keeping us, oh, thanks, Pat Rabbit. Let's see, I don't know why. Okay. Anyway, here's the link. That's a very short video. It's kind of funny. You could send that to your friends who are still talking about it like a virus. But he does longer talks, and he'll explain more in detail the science behind it. And then here's another really good one I wanted to play. And this is kind of funny in a way, but it's kind of sick too. So this one is called the zero micron or the Omicron, which he says this is like they tried to play a little joke on us, which they seem to really like to do because we're just so gullible. Anyway, so this one is about the original, like, when they were first making the name of the Omicron virus or the variant, supposed variant, it was actually Zerocrom. Zerocrom is what it says. Let's see. Zero micron. Because they said, so instead of O, it was a zero. And then they changed it to Omicron because zero micron would be that it's nothing, right? A micron, you have to have some in order for it to be a size of something. So Omicron was originally zero micron, which means nothing. So it's just a little hoax, you know, a little trick that they're doing on the public and to see how far they can take it. So there's that in the chat room too. And then there was another really funny one, but some people got really offended by this, but I thought it was so hilarious. I was laughing. Every time I think about it, I laugh. You guys should check out that, somebody sent it, put it in the chat room the other day. I just was cracking up so bad. I sent it to everybody. It's anti-vax Barbie. It's like 1.5 minute ad for this Barbie doll, who's the anti-vax Barbie doll. And if you notice, her hair is cut like Peggy Hall's hair. She's got blonde hair and it's in that little bob kind of thing. And she's got these t-shirts on that say, you know, I'm not your lab rat. But it's just hilarious. At the end, it's talking about, you know, the dream ventilator sold separately. And she's strapped to the bed with the ventilator on. I thought it was hilarious. I mean, I love to laugh. I think laughter is just such an important medicine. And we really need to laugh. And even if it's laughing at ourselves or our own belief systems. It's a good thing to do. But I sent it to some people, and one person got back to me and said that it was hilarious. But I did talk to some other people that I sent it to, and they were like, that was terrible. That was so offensive. They got really offended by it. And I was like, wow, that's kind of strange. I don't know. We need to laugh. It's just so important. Okay. Now I'm going to look at my little notes, see if I forgot anything in there. So the foods I ate were no vegetable oils, lots of broth with some, sauerkraut is better for constipation than it is for loose stools. So I kind of didn't do too much of that. Swimming in natural bodies of water. So swimming in the ocean would have been really good. And I did. I was able to do that a few times because it helps with that, what Jenna was talking about, the mineral balancing in the body, in the well, she was talking about the calcium, but it would help with that. And it was also helps with the balance of the ionic charge in your body, which is like the positive and negative polarity in your body.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm talking about swimming in natural bodies of water. It actually helps with the mineralizing of your body. Because it's what they call, now they have this name for it, it's called structured water. Have you heard of that, Jenna?
Yeah, well, I know it feels good. And also being by waterfalls or rushing water where the rocks just smash up the hydrogen molecules.
Mm-hmm. So that would be negative polarity. It's negative energy, ionic energy. So all these new age people, you know, they've been forever and they're still doing it. Like, oh, we got to get positive energy, like stay positive. And, you know, okay, well, it's just words, but, you know, we've been inundated with these thoughts. Like everything starts with a thought. And if everybody's going around thinking white light is so great and the high frequencies, well, that's LED lights and positive frequencies. Well, that's cities and LED lights and cars and exhaust and stuff. That's all positive ions.
Yeah, and it's like a bulldozer of dominance on our, sensitive selves.
Yeah, and so we have that pumped into our heads even by these. Probably well-intentioned, I'm sure probably more than 90% of the people that spout that kind of stuff that are New Agers actually probably have really good intentions, but they don't realize that it's completely wrong. It's wrong information, and everything starts with a thought. And here they come with these real weapons that are based on this positive ions and the, radiation and the high frequency and stuff, which is very dangerous for our bodies. And we have this belief system already set up from two generations of New Age philosophy telling us to just absorb all this stuff and it's really good for us. And, how does that affect things? You know, it's just,
right.
You know, go ahead.
Well, my comment would be like these measures were being opposed 10 years ago, and people were saying when Wi-Fi rolled out in schools, these things have human impact, and they just blind eye because they took the money, they took the corporate interests, the international global communitarian plan foresaw all of this, and they've been just slowly plotting and installing. And contributing to the fact that everybody is dependent on these devices. So, people won't give them up now because they're like, this is my lifeline to my business if I didn't have this smartphone. And, I even see people in the co-op, they're working daily with their smartphones. That's how they now log in all of the inventory. It's ridiculous how dependent we are on it. And the boiling frog of not recognizing this is absolutely disabling our society as it's been functioning. And I just want to relate this also to the health board and their meeting this week in Washington State about this mandatory involuntary quarantine. And they listened to 1,000 public comments. We listened to all of them. They were all 100% opposed to it, knowing the VAERS data, knowing all of this information about the vaccines, and, you know, blink, blink, they're just staring at the camera, being like the whipping boys, and they just moved it right up, you know, legislation is going to move it to the next phase, and it might not happen this year, but they've been moving this legislation since 2003, and then Jay Inslee, our governor, re-signed and revised it in 2014, and now this year, he's revising, you know, giving it a little tweak. It's not involuntary quarantine of HIV people or people infected with HIV, now it's any contagion. So they're just changing the words right in front of everyone, saying, no, no, we're not going to lock you up. That's preposterous. And Jay Inslee does a public announcement that evening reflecting on the public comment, because some of these people were fierce. They were saying, you guys are waking up a sleeping giant. We do not agree to this. And some were doctors, some were teachers. You know, they all had articulate comments that were well thought out and slammed in that 60 seconds. And Jay Inslee turned it to say, there's all these conspirators believing that we're going to put them in concentration camps. That's malarkey. You know, he's a clown.
Yeah. Well, I think that people do need to be very careful about, because even the people who are saying, they're gonna put us in concentration camps. Do we really want to be talking like that? What are they gonna do? They're not gonna do nothing to me. They're making us wear masks. They're not making you wear masks. You're following the directives of a piece of paper on a window.
Right.
Put there by a convicted a criminal, at least here in California, because Newsom is a convicted criminal. And I am making my own decisions. This is the problem. You know, people are, they're acting like they're, controlled, and we're not controlled. The reality of it is we're not controlled. We are following directives by criminals, and it's not that hard to never put a mask on again. I have never, ever put a mask on. I have put a shield on a couple of times, but that's it. And that was only like maybe four times. But, you know, people that I'm with, they always go, oh, we have to put a mask on here. No, you don't. I've never put a mask on here. If they kick you out, that's fine. I tell people that I'm not a communist. But maybe I should tell them I'm not a communitarian either.
That's right.
Go look that up.
Yeah, right. They'll look even more confused.
Yeah. So, because if we don't stop it, it's not going to stop from up above. It's only going to stop from us if we stop wearing the masks, you know. And, you know, what other people do, And then I have it to do with my home. I live with someone who works with taking care of a vaccinated couple. And I didn't want him to take the job, but he did. And now I'm starting to feel like there's some kind of repercussion. But it could have been the fact that I did eat something out, and maybe those people were vaccinated that cooked my food. I got to just stop eating out, you know. Yeah, it's terrible. One of the things, because I want to always try to turn this around to what are we going to do about it, you know, and where are some examples of what people are doing. So I appreciate that you guys listened to that stuff, but I cannot handle listening to that kind of crap. I really can't. I mean, I have lots of a couple of school board meetings here, and sure. I'm lucky. I live in a place where there's lots of cowboys and Indians, and most of the Indians are all like rolled over, belly up. But the cowboys are, you know, we're all resisting all this stuff. It's great. But anyhow, so I wanted to talk a little bit about why. So if Mexico is so inundated with all of these, because everybody's got LED lights everywhere, and there's so much 5G. There's just massive amounts of 5G towers there, like way more than here. And here was the only place I had my my meter on, and it was off the hook. It was really, really, really bad. So on my way home in the Bay Area, we stopped at a friend's and I stayed there, and I got really, I was starting to feel better because we'd been in the car a lot and stuff. But that next morning I got really, really, really sick again. Like almost as bad as the first time. I just had no energy. I was completely wiped out. My bowels were terrible. I didn't want to do anything. It was like, kind of like I hear this from people who have, I feel they're getting zapped with the electrical poisoning, as they feel like a zombie. Several people have told me that. They don't have any initiative to do anything, to make decisions, to cook, to do nothing. That's how I felt. And I realized that we had gotten there in the evening. We had dinner, and I stayed up late for me, which is usually not that big of a problem. But I went to bed at around 11. Well, I was sitting in this chair for about 3 hours. You know, that was my chair. There were several people there. And, well, the Wi-Fi router was right above my head. It was on a shelf about 3 feet above my head, and it was on the whole time. And when I asked I just get so tired of being this whiny one, like, well, can you turn your Wi-Fi router off? But I do. And this is like the guerrilla actions that we have to do. And it has to be in our everyday lives, because I'm telling you, I don't believe in politics. I don't believe that those people who say that they're in control, that they're really going to do anything for us. We have to do it ourselves. And so if that means that I'm just the one that every time at a meeting or somebody's house, I ask them to turn their Wi-Fi router off or turn their cell phones while I'm there, they can do what they want in their own free time. But please, I'm really sensitive. And just because I'm sensitive doesn't mean that it's affecting me any more than it's affecting them, because it is affecting them. They're just used to it. But or they have it blamed on something else. I got COVID. You know, that's why I feel so terrible. So anyway, one of the reasons why I thought, like, why are people in Mexico, it seems like they don't have a really huge amount of so-called COVID. And for one thing, I'm pretty sure they're just getting it set up. But I'm telling you, we drove through these towns way out there, villages, cactus everywhere out in this desert and right before the ocean. It's really beautiful. You look back and there's paths, like footpaths, to get to the little towns and stuff, or their little villages. And here's an Indian from there standing on the road waiting for somebody out in the middle of nowhere with the freaking mask on all the way up over his, like, one of those big ones. And they are just, it's so sad. Like, they're just, everybody's gotten, but we had to buy a cell phone there. We just bought a flip phone because I think the guy lied to me to get me to buy this thing. But I think our phones could have gotten a chip put in, but he said they couldn't. So I had to buy a cell phone. It was pretty cheap. It was like $10, but, it wasn't a smartphone, so it didn't have 5G, but, every day, like two or three times a day, they were sending out these messages. COVID cases are on the rise. Be sure to socially distance. Keep your mask on. Vaccinations save lives. Like, and so you just imagine, like, and everybody has smartphones down there now, even all the Indians. And so they're all getting that, those pulses and those waves and thoughts, like just like here. All the time, every day. And so this fear is rising and people are just, you know, falling to it. But the people that I talk to, because I talk to people, I would say, you know, those masks are dangerous. You should take it off. I would tell them that. And almost every time, but the younger generation, unfortunately, are the people that kind of look at you with blank stares like they think you're from Mars. But the older people, they're like, I know, this whole thing is a total scam, right? I mean, they would say that. And so that's a little bit better than here, I think. But I get that a lot here, too, like the store clerks and stuff. But anyway, it's going to have to start with us. We have to stop wearing the mask, because that's kind of like number one, you know, because that's like showing the world that we don't believe in it. We're not buying it. And we have power. We have personal power. I wanted to read something today, but I don't think I'm going to have time. From a book about Toltec wisdom from Mexico. But maybe I'll have to do that next time. But anyhow, so I think not wearing the mask is really super important. And if they kick you out, I got kicked out of two places in Mexico, and I was just like, well, I'm not a communist, and I'm not going to go along with that because I don't believe in it. And I do believe that they're very dangerous, and I just would walk out. I'm like, fine, they don't want my money, that's fine. And then, so I was wondering why people are still so healthy, because it doesn't seem like there's a lot of COVID down there. So one thing is that a lot of people still eat organ meats down there. And probably the cases of so-called COVID are people who are not eating their traditional diets, but people in villages and small towns, and they're still eating a lot of soups made with broth. When I went to a butcher at, when I went to that lake to stay, when we had a little kitchen. So I went to a local butcher and I got some bones with a little tiny bit of meat on them. And I asked them for some joint bones, the joints, because that has more collagen on them. It has a lot of, you know, the tendons, the connective tissue. And that actually those are better bones to buy, because the broth is going to come out more gelatinous. And that's what's really healing for the gut. And I think that I read somewhere, I'll have to look this up for next time, but that the gelatin and the collagen also does what you were talking about with the carbon, the charcoal, that it helps sequester toxins and free radicals and get the body to not digest it, because it has, and then also the fat content. So when I would go to, I told you about stopping at the little shops that sold menudo, and they would ask me, do you want me to take the fat off? And I was like, no, leave the fat on. And she looks at me like, wow, okay. Because I think the old people, they also say, leave the fat in. But the younger people who've gotten more indoctrinated say, take the fat out, because they think it's better. But so when I went to this, to the butcher, when I had access to a kitchenette, he gave me a bunch of, the joints. He cut them up nice and small and stuff. And there was just tons of collagen. It was so great. And I would just gnaw on those bones after they were cooked and eat all that connective tissue off. It was, felt so good. I really was so soothing for, my gut in that time. And then, one of the days I wanted to mention too, I have a little note here. I went to the little menudo stand, which menudo is made with the tripe, which is, they call it pancita, which means a little stomach, like a diminutive word for the stomach. And they really, they have words that really endear their food to them. Like Spanish language, the Mexican, I'm going to call it the Mexican language because it's different than Spain Spanish. There's a lot of, in ways that they call things in their daily lives with very much like care and loving and appreciation reflected in the words and the way that they say the words. It's really nice. And so they would call it pancita, because I'd ask them, does it have tripe in it? And they didn't know what that was. They said, oh, it's got pancita, which means the little stomach. But one day I went there to get some menudo, and she was getting to know me. And, you know, people think it's kind of weird when gringos walk up because, you know, I've got really light skin and they, you know, I'm just a whitey gringo for them, gringa. And so they're like, they think it's really strange when you go up and you order menudo, because tourists and Americans, they don't really eat that. But I grew up eating it, and I just know the value of it is so healing, especially with stomach problems. And so one day I went there, and she had the soup, but there was no tripe in it. And I didn't ask her why, but I realized that was New Year's Eve day when she didn't have the tripe. I bet she was saving that tripe for the next day, for New Year's Day, when everybody was going to come in and order a ton of menudo, because it's really good for stomach issues, which would include hangovers. It's a really common known fact that menudo is really good for the hangovers. So she didn't have any tripe in the menudo that day. She said, well, we just have the joints and the collagen. Is that okay? I was like, yeah, sure. I've never had that before. I mean, I've eaten it, but it's only been part of the soup. So she pulls these bones out and she puts some of the big stock pot and she puts it on a cutting board and she starts cutting off all the collagen off of the feet bones and the joints, like the elbows and whatever, the ankles, I guess, of the animal. And she's just chopping off all this thick collagen right off there into, and puts that into the bowl instead of the tripe, which a lot of times they'll have some tripe too. Well, most, all the time for menudo. And I was like, okay, I'll try that. And it was so good. Oh my gosh. So just eating this collagen, like basically pure collagen. And you know, it's a little bit chewy, but it's very soft and it's so soothing. I used to crave it when my dad would cook. I'd sneak in the kitchen because you always think that that's bad for you. So I remember sneaking in there and trying so nobody would see me. And I would eat that the collagen off the bones when I was little and then kind of feel a little embarrassed about it. But there's a reason for that because it's just so healing and the body just knows it. When you start to eat it, it's like, did we get cut off? No, we're still here. Brian, okay, so we're still on the call, right? I'm looking at this thing going, what's going on? Okay. Yeah, so that was really cool. It was a good experience. And so at the same time, I was having some knee problems because when we were hiking a lot and doing a lot of walking and my knee started acting up. Well, as soon as I started eating that menudo and with all that collagen and stuff, boy, it just, my knees got really good. They were fine the rest of the time. So when I got those from the butcher, he just gave them to me. Like, I paid for the other bones. Technically, the real medicine is those free bones that he gave me. And so just so you know, you don't have to buy really expensive meat to get the benefits of what it has to offer. Those animal foods. And, you know, along with that New Age thing is the whole vegan vegetarian agenda. You know, very sad. Very sad. I have a really good friend who's vegan, and it's sad. They have all these symptoms that they tend to put on the fact that they're light workers or something. It's like, no, you don't eat any food that's, like, helping to keep your body strong and your body's not doing too well. So, but you know, I don't talk about all this stuff a lot with those kind of people because unless they ask me, I just don't bring it up because they didn't ask me. So, what else we got here? Oh, candles. I bring candles for the hotel rooms when I turn everything off. We have candlelight. Yeah, so chamomile tea and mint tea is really good. Ginger, if you make ginger tea too strong, it can cause spasms. And that I did that once, and I noticed there was a little bit more spasming. So I stuck mostly to the chamomile and mint teas. And then if I could, I would just make really light, very, very gentle ginger tea. So the Starlink, we saw some people, I didn't see it, but some people saw the Starlink. I got out of the chat room because it was looking a little too raucous, but we'll get back in. The Starlink satellites, apparently they went over the ceremony that I was at, and people thought it was like UFOs or extraterrestrials coming to say something about the ceremony, but afterwards I didn't even know about the Starlink stuff, but that's what it was, is Elon Musk's deal. So they actually flew right over the top of the ceremony, right as, you know, it was going on one night. Okay, what else we got? Supplements. So this is real. Well, I guess Jenna covered that when she was talking about the the charcoal. I was wondering about that and why it works, and that basically when you have all those free radicals and all that radiation floating around in your system and your body's trying to digest it, which it does with stuff because that's what the digestive system does if it's in a good way. It wants to digest things. So the charcoal and so the charcoal would have to suck that stuff up and eliminate it, right? The radiation. So supplements. So here's that person I was telling you about with the Starlink that just got the Starlink Wi-Fi tower basically on her house, and she's really sick. So she was saying that enzymes make her feel really sick. Whereas before, she said she used to use them and they would help her with her digestive sick. But recently, they're making her feel sick. So why would that happen? I was wondering. So maybe what's happening is that if she's being radiated with all, she's been getting all this radiation from that Starlink router or the antenna or the big tower, basically, on her house. That the body, the enzymes are helping the body to try to digest what's in her body. And so the body's rejecting because it doesn't want, or maybe it's absorbing the radiation because of the enzymes. Like the enzymes are helping her body to incorporate the radiation, and that's making her sick. I thought that was really interesting, little clue there. About enzymes, even though you do want to have really good enzymes, you probably don't want to push them if you have a lot of toxins in you, because maybe they will help your body to absorb and bring those toxins into your system. So I took her off of those. What do you think, Jenna?
I'm surprised, but why the enzymes would make her feel worse, other than she's just not absorbing anything, like the biofilm, if she has like a long history of.
Well, actually, she went on to she's been on the GAPS diet for about 6 months, so she should have. Oh. She actually, biofilm, usually in 6 months, it's usually expelled by them. So she has been working on it. That's what I'm saying. She's been working. She's been doing stuff like really diligent, but nothing's working. But that's why I was thinking maybe the enzymes are helping her body to metabolize the toxins, you know, to get them to bring, because that's what the enzymes do. Is it helps the body to metabolize minerals and beneficial stuff in the body. I don't know.
Sure. Sure. Like a lot of fighting going on in there and chaos and wrestling matches going on in the depths of her gut. You know, that could probably make her feel like crap.
Right. And then basically bottom line is you don't want to be absorbing and metabolizing toxins. So maybe the fact that she was taking enzymes it was helping that process out, which we shouldn't be doing. So anyway, I took her off of that, and just for now. But I'm going to get her on that other formula, that Chinese formula that's really good for radiation, and I'll be really excited. Because, you know, long-term exposure to this stuff can cause cancer, I guess. That's what, you know, we've been told. I don't even know if that's true anymore. But in any case, all of these herbs have been used successfully for people who've been exposed to radiation and chemotherapy in cancer treatments, but also in the blurb about in the books about that formula, it says that that it has been used for other people for other symptoms of people being exposed to high amounts of electricity. So maybe people who work in like on electrical lines or you know other places. So one of the things I want to talk about too real quick, because when these kind of digestive problems start with, you know, start making real problems. This time of year where we are, it's kind of cold. So what you want to do is to eat more warming foods. But like we said, ginger can sometimes be a little bit inflammatory. So just watch it with the ginger. But one thing that you could do, and I've made this before, and it's really good. It's called, it's garlic. It's like lacto-fermented garlic. And so you get the brine, which is two tablespoons per quart when you're just pouring it over the stuff. Or maybe it's one tablespoon. Darn it. I'll have to look that up. But anyway, you guys can look it up, what the brine is for pouring onto vegetables. So you could get the garlic and you peel it and you put it in a jar and you could pour the brine over it and let it sit for a month. Or you let it sit for 3 days on your counter and then put it in the fridge. And after about 30 days or a little bit more, it'll start to turn blue. It turns this really pretty color blue. And in Chinese cuisine or food medicine, this time of year, that blue garlic is actually a really good thing to take. You can use it as just a, you can fry it up in your eggs or your spaghetti sauce or whatever. And you can also just use it as a side, like a little condiment. Eating, just have a little piece of the garlic, you know, with your food. And the blue color would be helpful for the kidneys. And the salty would also be helpful for the kidneys. And then the garlic would be warming and invigorating for the spleen and stomach. Okay, because right now we're kind of in a transition time in the seasons between winter and spring. And so in the transition times, it always relates to the spleen and the stomach, which is, you know, the digestion. So that's my recommendation for this time of year. Start making some of that garlic, lacto-fermented garlic. And then if you go to acupuncture, you can ask them to use some moxa on some points for your spleen and stomach. That's always really nice. And they might even teach you how to do it and sell you a moxa stick. Would be good. Warming herbs with teas would be like chai and that kind of stuff, the aromatic teas. Rather than green tea can be a little bit too cold this time of year. So, and then the kidney massages, we've done that before. So the spleen and stomach points on the back are about 2, 3, 4 inches above where your kidneys are. So I've taught you guys how to find your kidneys and do that massage. You put your thumbs on your hips, fingers wrapped around. You're just going to rub about 2-3 inches out from your spine. All along that line, if you do that, you're going to feel it's just really comforting. So that would be getting some stimulation and tonification of your spleen, stomach, and kidneys. Okay. So, yeah, I think that's the show. Looks like, oh, wait, are we right? 12:57. Yeah, so we should be hearing the music in the world. The Skype is going to be really strange. So thanks so much, Jenna, for coming on today. Really appreciate your willingness to jump on the show with me.
Loved it. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.
So you guys have a good rest of your afternoon. Are you hearing music yet?
No.
It's on.
Okay. All right, goodbye. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
She travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and Earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction. Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically atomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday, 1700 hours Pacific Time, that's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Oscar's face, that's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows what's new.